for leading us in prayer, and I invite and encourage us to continue to be in prayer together, especially for these that are battling illness. It's good to have Robbie Tillett here today. He began chemotherapy treatment last week and is praising God that he has strength to be here today. And we praise God with him. We're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. They can head out. And I believe David and Joy Kofeld are back there ready to receive them already. Let's bless our children as they go. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14 if you have not already. How many of you were able to be here last week and heard Gary Schulteis' message? Quite a number of you. If you didn't get to hear the message, then it is uploaded on the church app, the latest sermon message that's uploaded. And if you're not up to getting into the app yet, it is on the church website. You can listen to it there as well. Excellent message. I was able to listen to it when I got back. And I have to tell you, that message spurred me on to this message that I'm going to share with you this morning. I'm piggybacking on his message, and I'm trusting that God will use this to bless us and challenge us even further with our story. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, and there is a paper outline you may have received, but also the outline, the fillable outline, is on the app there as well. Makes it a little troubling, though, to ask somebody, you know, are you messing around with your phone while the pastor's preaching? You might be filling in the app. You might be filling in the outline, so we'll have to hold our tongue. Look with me at chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 15 through 24. 15 through 24. Hear the word of the Lord. When one of those who was at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. And then the owner of the house, the master, became angry, and he ordered his servant, 'Go out and quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be filled. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Let's look to the Lord for a moment in prayer. Father, we come now to your word. We ask that, Lord, you will speak to us through these words of Jesus, this parable. And we ask the Holy Spirit to bring this message to our hearts, Lord, that we may hear with hearing ears and respond and obey you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When you're having a banquet or a meal or a gathering, a picnic, a barbecue, whatever it is, if it's limited on how many guests you can have, it makes it kind of difficult, doesn't it? I remember when we were planning our daughter's wedding 3 years ago, and, you know, it's her wedding, and so she had her guest list. And, of course, we wanted to invite everybody. And she's like, "Mom, Dad, you know, we can only have so many people. And, you know, I kind of get precedence here, don't I? It is my wedding." I said, "No, you don't." No, of course, we had to step back and be more sensitive to that. And we had a very limited number of people that we could invite. On top of that, the venue that we had was very, very tight, very small. It makes it difficult when you have a meal like that or a banquet if it's limited. But here, we see that in God's future banquet, which really is referring to His kingdom, everyone is invited. Everyone. All of us can come. There's no limit, except you have to be invited and you have to respond. The context of the story is the meal. We begin chapter 14 when a prominent Pharisee has invited Jesus to dinner. And he's having Jesus and a number of people in his home having dinner. And it tells us in verse 1 that Jesus is being carefully watched by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, the religious authorities. They're carefully watching Jesus. Why? Because they're threatened by him. They don't like what he's saying. In fact, much of what he's saying is contradicting what they have taught. He's even said things that are infuriating to them. And so they're carefully watching, looking somehow to trip him up. And so during this time, in these first few verses, Jesus teaches on what's lawful to do on the Sabbath. Then he teaches about taking places of honor at a feast. And then about inviting only your friends to a feast. And if your friends repay you in like manner, then you have received your reward. But he goes on to say, rather you should invite the poor and the lame, the blind, the crippled, those that would be considered outcasts of society. Invite them, Jesus says, because when you do that, then you will be repaid by your heavenly Father. You will be repaid, he says, at the resurrection of the righteous. And then this man pipes up in verse 15. This man has to say this. And he makes this statement. He says, blessed is the one who will eat in the feast in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus then brings a parable, which we just read, of the master and his banquet. And out of this parable, out of this story of the master and the banquet, comes this point that I want to bring to us. And the main point is this, that Jesus calls us to invest our lives in other people so that they can become his friends, that they can come to his banquet, his dinner, that they will know him. And they will be part of his kingdom. And as we look at this parable, I hope you will see that Jesus, who's represented by the master, is serious about this. He is very serious about this. And I hope we will hear this and that we will take the seriousness of Jesus' story and take it to heart. And I have titled my message, Bring Your Friends. Bring your friends to the banquet. As we start out this morning, I have to ask a question. Are you going to the banquet? Have you responded to the invitation? Because that's where it begins. It's kind of difficult for any of us to invite others if we haven't first ourselves responded to the invitation. So, is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your Lord? Are you coming to his banquet? Have you answered the invitation? Our vision as a church, Island Alliance Church, is that we together as a congregation are reaching out, we are growing together, and we are sending ourselves and others out into our community and world. Why? So that we can invite others to the banquet. We can invite others into the kingdom. Jesus was so serious about this that he gave his last command, Matthew chapter 28, he says, go into all the world and preach the message, the gospel. Preach it. Make disciples of people. And it starts with an invitation. It starts with us inviting other people into the banquet, into the kingdom. Why? Watch this. It's because lost people matter to God. And he wants them found. Yes, he loves us, every one of us. And we have preached this over and over, that God loves you and God is for you and God will work in your life for good because we're called according to His purpose and we love Him. But we have to understand this, that He has created His church not only for us that are here and are a part of it now. The church is the only institution and the only organism that exists for those who are not yet a part of it. He wants people in this community who do not know Him, He wants them to know Him. He wants them to be part of His kingdom, to be a part of the banquet. And He wants you and me to invite them. And He's serious about it. Let's break it down and talk about it a little bit. This man's statement in verse 15, the statement that he speaks out, that he spouts off, is based on a correct understanding from Isaiah chapter 25 in verses 6 through 8. And it talks about the future banquet that the Lord is going to bring. And I believe we have someone who's going to read that scripture for us.
That's me.
Lynn Semenuk's going to read that for us.
On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth.
The Lord has spoken, and Lynn has read it. Amen. Thank you. We see, can you go back to that verse for me, Randy? This is the gospel in the prophet Isaiah, in his writing. On this mountain, the Lord will prepare a feast of rich food. So, what he is saying, this man who's stating this in verse 15, is correct. But notice what this last phrase, or last two words of the phrase, it's for who? Say it again. For who? One more time. Who? The implication in what this man's stating is that he is stating he's blessed because he, as a Jew, is going to be part of the banquet. And the implication is that he and the Jewish people alone were going to be at God's banquet in God's kingdom. And that's why Jesus gives this parable to help them understand that it is not only about them. For us, the application would be, listen, it is not only about you. We rejoice in our salvation. Amen? As Kathy shared that verse, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And we rejoice in the grace of God. We rejoice in the love that has been poured out upon us. Amen. But understand God's heart. We have to hear God's heart, folks. We have to hear this. God wants lost people found. He wants others to come. It's so important that Jesus talks about it over and over and over again. He wants lost people found. He loves them and He wants them to be a part of His kingdom. Are you catching the heart of Jesus? Are you catching the heart of the Father? He wants people found. As we look at this statement in Isaiah, we understand that in chapter 24, the prophet's been talking about judgment and devastation that's coming upon the earth. But then there's this wonderful prophecy of the feast in God's kingdom, His coming kingdom upon the earth. Sounds like the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Isaiah was giving revelation and understanding and prophecy, you know, almost 800 years before the coming of Christ. And so Jesus gives this parable to answer this man who really is in a sense, is really biased. He's focused on himself and the other Jewish people. And there's, of course, an assumption in there that he's fine, that he's going to be at God's banquet. And Jesus makes it clear in his statement to him that there has to be several things that happen. So Jesus gives this banquet. He gives a story. People love stories. Well, we learned when I was at council last week, we learned that 80% of people learn by story format. That's their best method of learning, by story. Now, do you understand why Jesus was a master storyteller? And his stories teach us so in-depthly. So this banquet that Jesus talks about is, it really is representing God's coming kingdom. And those who are invited at the first are the Jewish people. But they have refused. They have refused. You see, because they represent those Jewish people who God sent the Messiah to them first, and they refused Jesus. They would not receive him. They would not accept him as the Messiah. And so it also then would reflect over to us, and it would represent us, those of us who would refuse Jesus Christ. And we're told that at the end of it, that those that reject him, those that refuse him, will not taste of the banquet of God. And so it brings me to point number one. And point number one is this, and I said it already, I'll say it again for emphasis. Make sure you're at the banquet. Make sure you have responded and you have embraced Jesus Christ. The ones that he sends the invitation to first, they make excuses. And when you think about it, they're pretty pathetic excuses. The first one says, you know, I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Well, stop right there for a second. Who buys a field without looking at it? It's lame. It's an absolute lame excuse. It's really not true, is the bottom line. Of course he has looked at this field. The only exception might be is if his servant bought it for him with his authority, and he hadn't yet seen it. That's a possibility. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. The second one is, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Really? That sounds like fun. We're going to go oxen riding. It's lame. It's a lame excuse. Especially in comparison to the banquet feast that God is inviting them to. The third one says, I just got married, so I can't come. Whew, I'm not even touching that one. Move right on past that one. But Jesus is not very impressed even with that excuse. And he says to his servant, he says, these who I have invited have refused. Therefore, go out into the highways and the byways, and you are to invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind. Who are they? They are the outcasts that the Jewish people would never think would be invited to God's banquet. I have to be honest with you, that represents you and me. They looked at Gentiles, non-Jews, as those who were outcasts, those who were second class compared to them. So make sure, number one, that you are at the banquet, because the master becomes angry at those who make excuses. This represents the Jewish people who refused Jesus, and he invited others, therefore, to the banquet. So I ask you the question, are you going to the banquet? Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Have you responded to his invitation? Jesus said over and over again, he said, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. This week I was scrolling through Facebook. I do that a little bit. You know, I know it's Facebook's mostly for us older people anymore. The young people don't use Facebook. They're, you know, on these other new technologies. I get it. But there was a person on there that put a statement about herself, said she was at the end of her rope and she didn't want to talk to anybody because she was just, you know, completely overtaken, overwhelmed. Life was terrible. She was in a deep, dark place. And I felt so compelled, and I wrote that scripture verse from Jesus. It's in I believe it's Luke chapter 11. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 11. It says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, come to me. I put that on there, you see, because people in the world today, they're looking for relief. They're looking for help and hope, and they're looking for it in all the wrong places. We were discussing in men's group where a lot of counselors will tell you, you have to look inside. And if you look inside, but you'll find the answer to your problems. Really? I looked inside and I found more problems. I said, man, I'm getting out of there. But if you and I will look to Jesus, if we'll answer his call, answer his invitation, you will find rest for your souls. You will be invited and respond and come to the banquet, meaning he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. He wants you to be in relationship with him. And yes, eventually there is going to be a celebration banquet. And I hope you and I will be there together. If you haven't made that choice, I invite you, I challenge you. Make sure, respond, even today, respond and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the most important thing in this life. The second, though, is just as important. Number two, bring a friend. Bring a friend along to the banquet. What do I mean by that? Well, we hear Jesus' words. He tells the servant, go out quickly and invite others to come on in. Do you see it? Jesus says, go out quickly. Do you think he's serious about it? He doesn't say, you know, as you're doing your other duties and you're out and about, he said, you know, if you get a chance, invite some other people. Oh, no. He's very serious and he's very intentional. Go quickly and invite others to come to my banquet. My banquet must be full. What does this mean for us? It means that you and I are called to develop relationships with people who may not be like us. You and I are called to develop relationships and friendships with people that God puts in our path so that they know how much we care. And I have to tell you, most people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. They really are not interested in you know, discussing theology with you and all these kinds of things that we as Christians sometimes get into. Those are fine and it has its place. But as Gary shared last week, and I say it, you and I have a story. And in just a moment, we're going to look at it. You and I have a story to share. And that's what we want to be able to share with people, our story. So we have to work at developing a relationship and the right to share our story. I was amazed, Gary, that you shared that the man actually asked you. How's that for an opening, an invitation? Somebody asked you, man, what are you all about, man? What's your life all about? You're different. Wow. I wish I could have those kind of invitations all the time. They don't usually come quite that straight open. And we have to be looking for them. With the eyes of the Spirit, we have to be looking for the opportunities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it tells us that we are God's ambassadors. We are speaking for Christ. It's though God is making his appeal through us, the word tells us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. These are not just words that Paul is speaking to us, but I believe these are words that we should have in our arsenal of being able to share our story and say, look, God loves you and he implores you, he appeals to you to know him, to know Christ and be a part of his kingdom. Well, how do we do this? How do we go about actually inviting a friend, reaching out to a friend? Number three, I think I have the outline, the printed outline wrong. I think I did two number twos. This is number three. All this technology gets me confused. It's not hard to do. How do we do it? Number three, build a bridge. build a bridge. It's amazing how people will talk about important things if you just start and give them an opening. Now, you and I, what we don't want to do is ask a question and then immediately start criticizing what the person says and what they may believe. Listen, you've got to establish the relationship. So, you know, you can imagine as a pastor, I hear all kinds of stuff. And especially, you know, when I mention that I'm a minister. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I go to church and, you know, but I believe this. And boy, you hear all kinds of stuff, you know. But I've learned to just step back and just leave that alone. Somewhere along the line, there might be an opening to say, you know, I used to think that way, or I used to understand things that way. But now God has shown me through his word that it's this. And then you get an opportunity to begin to share a little bit. And you have to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, right? He tells us, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak on the occasion, whether you're standing before kings or princes, before the authorities, he will give you the words to speak. And so we rely on the Spirit to give us those words. Pray. Pray. Ask God to be at work in this person's heart. And then look for an opportunity to share your story. I was flying on the plane down to the general counsel, and it wasn't assigned seats, we found out. And so Colin and I had to get separated, and we were sitting on all different kinds of seats. And there was a lady sitting next to me, and I come to find out she was a Christian. She attended a church. But she had another lady sitting next to her, and it became obvious that she kind of had a church, but not quite sure if she really knew Jesus Christ. And we had some wonderful conversations. And the lady asked me a little bit about myself, and it was like a perfect opportunity to share my story. How God intervened in my life at the age of 19, because I was going in that direction. And God called me to be his, and he said, no, you're going to go in this direction. And I was able to share that story, and the other lady was listening. See, we have to be sensitized to the Spirit of God, because we can talk a lot, can't we? Some of us love to talk a lot. I mean, a lot. Some folks really like to talk a lot. And we have to be careful, because sometimes, what does the proverb say? In the abundance of words, what is it? Sin is not far away. Sometimes we talk too much and we're talking about superfluous things. Get to the heart of it. Get to your story. Listen, be bold and get to your story. Why do I say that? Because time is short. I believe time is short. There is stuff happening all over the world. It is just happening at such a pace, it's hard to comprehend. And I believe time is short. And I believe time is of the essence. God wants people to hear your story, your grace story, so that he can use it to impact them. And then, as I said, you pray. And you pray some more. And you pray. And you pray. Because God is the one that draws them. Notice verse 23 in this passage. And we're coming in for a landing. Verse 23. The master told the servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in. That's a strong word there, isn't it? Compel them to come in. It's short of making them. It's short of forcing them. He doesn't want us to force people. But if you got to drag them in here, drag them in. Say, man, you got to hear that crazy preacher, Pastor Tom. You got to hear him. Come on, drag him in here. And if I'm not preaching, then whoever is preaching, drag him in here to hear. Say, man, Gary Schultheis, he's preaching. You need to come here. Mike Wins is preaching. Roger's preaching. Somebody else is preaching. Bring him in. We talk about so many things, folks. How about talking about the grace story, what God has done in your life? Amen. Can somebody get excited about that this morning? Your grace story, what God has done in your life? If he has saved you, if he has brought you out of darkness and into light, into his wonderful kingdom, can we get excited about that and say, God, will you use me, even me? Number four, there's a little outline there's a framework in the outline. Because Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer for those who ask you, what's the reason for the hope you have within you? What's the reason? See, my parents raised me to be a good person. And when I was growing up, you know, they told me to be polite. I got a few backhands across the mouth for talking smart. And I'm glad my parents did that, you know, because I was a smart mouth. And a young boy in a smart mouth is not a good thing. But they taught me to be polite. They taught me to be respectful. They taught me to do the right thing. So, and when people would ask me, oh, well, Tom, you know, that was a very nice thing you did there. Why did you do that? I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good guy. That is not the reason that we do the things that we do. That is not the reason that we live a holy life. We live a holy life because God has found us. He has poured His grace and drawn us out of darkness and forgiven us of our sins and put His Spirit in us so that we can live a holy life. That's why I do what I do. Not because I'm a good guy. And so we have to talk about, A, my life before Christ, my sin, my lostness, my emptiness, addictions. I was dazed and confused. Still am to some degree, but God's bringing me out of it. If you came to Christ early in your life, then you may skip this part and you might just say, you know, God found me at a very young age and He brought me to Himself at a very young age. Letter B, how you came to Jesus Christ. What was the circumstances? Share your story and see, what has my life been like since Jesus Christ has come in? What is my life like now? And then number four, walk your friend across the bridge. Walk with your friend in life. It's difficult in these days to become a Christian. And it's especially difficult in this culture where it's not popular to be a Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, you know, immediately you're lumped in with those who are haters, which is not true. It is not true. And you have to be there for them. They'll have questions. They'll have objections. But the most important thing is that we pray for them and we walk with them, just like somebody prayed and walked with you. Just as like God was patient and drew you, and it was a process. Amen? But here's the most exciting thing. If we will do that, you'll see people come to Christ. You'll see people come to Christ. Brother John. Brother, you're awesome. You've been inviting guys. There's a whole row of guys here that you've been inviting out over the past 6 months, 8 months. Amen? And yes, but He's using you. Why? Because you're bold enough to invite people to come. Invite them to come. Can we get bold? Can we become bold? Can we ask God, recommit ourselves? Say, Lord, I want to be used by You. Use me, Lord. Use my grace story. I hope that's your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this parable, and You make it so clear, Your heart, that You want us, Lord. You've called us and made us Your own. And impress this upon us, Lord, that You want others. You want others to come. And You want us to invite them. Lord, impress that on our hearts. Lord, as we go through this week, can we, Lord, just make it so that we can't get away from that, Lord? That should be our heart all the time. But we pray especially this week on the heels of wonderful messages about our story, that You will impress it especially on our hearts. And Lord, if there's those here today that don't know You, Lord, let this be the day when they respond, that they seek You and say, yes, I want to know Jesus, I want to be at his banquet. I want to be in his kingdom. Lord, draw people, I pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I bless your people. I bless our time as we fellowship, breaking bread together around the tables. And Lord, may we enjoy and celebrate the fathers, the men that we have in this church, Lord. Bless our time and then send us forth into a world that is in great need. And we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to be dismissed in a moment. If you need prayer, I'm going to ask if you come on over to this side, because we're going to begin to break these chairs down and set up.